Good morning to you. This is the voice of Master Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share another message with you on a broadcast time together. You'll join me by the way of WION, I-1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, or over in the Low Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome you to our broadcast time. Others will join me by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I'm also very proud to announce that we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the web, so they're heard all over the whole world, and that's something very special. Others tune me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. That's at 10 o'clock. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is Pastor Ken Harger. Take your mouse and bring it up over Messages from the Lighthouse. Current Media will show up, and you click on Current Media, and the top message is the one that is for today. So whatever way you joined me, I'm just glad to have you being a part of our broadcast time together. We're going to start Christmas messages today. I'm over here at the Lighthouse. It's on a Tuesday evening. It's got about almost a full moon out, and the lake is pretty with the moon shining on it. But also there's a wind right out of the north, and I got to tell you, my lighthouse is warm, but that wind coming over here was really, very cold. I want to say thank you to all those that helped me with the financial cost involved in bringing the broadcast to you. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer, in memory not of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and they lived in Orleans. She still lives in Orleans, and I appreciate her so much. And to Doug and Noreen Lane, they're one of my longest sponsors. They're from the Sheridan area. To Bell and Judy Hammond, they're from the Belding area. And Shiloh Community Church, a church where I pastored for 50 years, and I still attend there. Our weekend of worship at Shiloh begins on Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And we just trying to keep doing the services at the church as long as they wear their mask and those kind of things. And besides that, we've got the building really spread apart, so that makes it pretty nice. Over in Greenville, we have our second campus. That's at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street. And that service is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. A big thank you for K.N. Kingsinger, who's been so faithful in picking out my music for many years. He's done that for me. And we're working on 2021. My goodness, it don't seem possible. But man, the way November went, I think December's going to go by pretty fast. My message for this morning, Christmas is an amazing gift from God, His Son, Jesus. Let me say that again. Christmas is an amazing gift from God, His Son Jesus. We're going to study about that in just a few moments. But before we do, I got a song I'd like to use to get us started. Our mind's thinking about Christmas. It's going to move along pretty fast here. We got 3 weeks that we'll be talking about Christmas, and then it'll be here on my Facebook when I keep track of the messages I do. And this is message number 48. And so we realized, man, this year is going by pretty fast. It will soon be all history. But as we get ready for the message, the story, the song I want us to listen to is The Story That Never Grows Old. This message of Christmas is a story that will never grow old. It can touch the hearts of each one of us, no matter what age we are, no matter what our background is, religiously or any other way. Just to know that God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus.
Year after year, as we sometimes we lose the joy or forget the reason why. But holding the foundation of our earthly celebration is the story of a king who came to die.
It still warms the heart to know that he that we used to know are gone. But the story of the Savior is as real today as ever, and throughout eternity it shall live on.
I like the way that ends that song. It's a story that never grows old. And it's the greatest story that has ever been told. And once again, I get the opportunity to share the message of Christmas. And I love it. I love the Christmas lights. I love the Christmas music. I love the different ways we have of celebrating Christmas. I love the excitement for little children. I love the excitement that at 85 I still have in me as a little child, thinking about Christmas. And today as we look at our message, I'm thinking about the most amazing gift that was ever given. I've given some gifts in the past that were really, really appreciated. There was a time in my life when I made all the gifts at a little workshop. And I made gifts and gave them especially to family and close friends. And many of the families still have the gifts that I had made at that time. And that was something very special. And you know, I've received gifts that has been something that is very special. But the greatest gift that was ever given is this amazing gift that God has given to us. And that being His Son, the Lord Jesus. So I want to go to a time of prayer. I want to remember you, the listening audience, once again this morning for your Christmas time. I want to remember any unspoken request that you might have that I might just take before the throne of grace and ask God to give you some sense of direction. So let's bow together for just a few moments. Father, it's such a beautiful evening over here at the lighthouse. Even though the coldness coming over here made me realize that it's soon going to be snow on the ground. And Father, the older I get, I don't need the snow, but it sure is a beautiful thing when it begins to happen. And dear Father, as we think about the snow, we think about a white Christmas. We think about the Christmas story that never grows old. The greatest story that was ever told. And what a privilege it is for me once again to tell that story this year. And I want to pray especially for the listening audience. They're the ones that have been studying for this story, to share it with them. So I want to pray for each one that has tuned me in this morning, or those that will listen by my way of my website. Whatever way they listen, I pray, Father, that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is an amazing gift when God gave us His Son, Jesus. And I want to pray for the listening audience as they have their Christmases this year. We're not sure exactly like it was what it's going to be like, because there's so many things going on within our nation with this COVID and all the other things we're struggling with. But dear Father, I want to pray that this would be one of the best Christmases the listening audience would ever have. That somehow you would help them get beyond all the things that's taking place in their lives. And we look to you and look to your Son, the Lord Jesus, in all that you are willing to give in order for us to have this celebration today. I especially want to pray for the older listening audience that you just bless them. They're the ones that's closest to my heart because of the things they're going through and the difficulty it is as we get older to handle all the situations of life. I want to pray for those that may be having family problems, those that may be dealing with financial issues in their life, those that might be dealing with sickness or with death. I just pray, Father, you'd be the comforter, the healer. You'll just minister to them like you did through your Son when he was on planet Earth, and meet their need according to your will. Father, I also want to remember any unspoken requests from the listening audience this morning. Maybe that person right now is thinking about a need that they have in their life, and it's an unspoken request. I don't know what it is, but you do, Father, and they do. And so right now, I just want to pray, would you give them a sense of direction? I like the idea, Father, when you told me in your word, we are to acknowledge you. We are to acknowledge who you are and what you're able to do. So, Father, I pray that if they need some direction, you give them direction. They need some comfort. Whatever it is for that unspoken request, I pray that you might minister to them today as an individual. Many of them, Father, are homebound. Many times we're homebound. We're sitting in their own home, but we're listening to this message. I want to pray for that congregation. They're in the comfort of their home, I pray, as they sip some coffee or some hot chocolate or whatever they might be doing at this moment, that you would minister to them in a very special way. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, this message this morning is pretty special to me. It's pretty special because it's an amazing gift. It is a gift that was given not just for me, but it was a gift that was given for the whole world. It is a gift of both the love of God, the Father, and the love of the Lord Jesus himself. There's no better way to explain God the Father's love than was recorded in John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world. I like to read that like this for me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I thank you, Father, for doing that. God the Father's love to each one of us. And this relationship with God is built upon love. God the Father shares with us that he so loved us that he gave us only one and only Son. And then Jesus shared sometime later in his ministry when he said one of my favorite sayings of the Lord Jesus, greater love has no man than this, that one would be willing to die for his friends. He would lay down his life for his friends. I love it that Jesus went on to say, you are my friends if you do what I've commanded you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for the things that I have heard from my Father. Now get this. The things I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and you should bear fruit, and that the fruit that you bear would remain, and that whatsoever you ask in my Father, in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you. Now listen to the bottom line. Love one another. Don't we need to hear that more often in our life? Love one another. When our children was growing up, they knew that I always liked a verse in Ephesians. If they were picking on each other like sometimes brother and sisters do, or even sometimes sister do their sisters, I would say, be kind to each other. Be kind to each other. God says, I like to hear God saying to me, love one another. Love one another, because we need to have that in our life. I like the way the story is told in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now let's break that down for just a moment. God is saying, let Christ's word dwell or live in you. God's word is one Christ. He wants to live in you. And God's word wants to live in you. And he goes on to say he wants to live richly and in all wisdom, in all kinds of teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace to your heart in your hearts to the Lord. For we are to let the word of Christ live at home in our life, is the way it's said in the Message. I like the way it says that. We are to let the word of God live at home in our life. And wants us to realize that this is something very special that God wants to do. He came to live within our life. This one Jesus and the word of God, he was the word in the flesh. The Bible's the word of God in the written form. And that word needs to live alive in our life. I like one other thing that he says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God said, I want you to be a thankful people as you reach out this amazing gift of God, his Son to us. It's extended into our life. Just like he came into the world in the first place, he wants to come into your Christmas season and into my Christmas season. But every day of your life, God wants us to realize that we need to be thankful to him for this gift that he has given us. What we have, the privilege because of Jesus and living in our life, is so sacred. Experienced by living life gratefully under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus, we can reflect upon the joy of this salvation that we have in him. I believe that's why he wants the word of God. Oh, Jesus the word of God became flesh in Jesus. He wants us to know that he wants that word to live within each one of our lives in a very special way. Let's continue on with this thought for just a few moments. This amazing love of God when he gave us a gift, his Son. I believe in all my heart God delivered him in the best package it could possibly be delivered in. You know, you get some Christmas gifts through the mail. You get some through the, you know, the UPS or the other types of services through the Prime of Amazon and that kind of thing. But I'm reminded when Jesus was sent into this world, I always like to say this every Christmas to myself and repeat it often. When God created mankind, when he created Adam, he made an adult person. When he created Eve, he made an adult person. But when God wanted to tell me he loved me, when God wanted to tell you that he loves you, he sent a little baby. His most choice thing of heaven was willing to become just a baby, even born in a manger, entrusted into the hands of Mary and Joseph. What a tremendous thing God did for us. God is reminding us that he wants that word to live in our life. That's what we talked about earlier. Now he's going to remind us before the word began, before the world was, in John 1:1-5. Jesus was the word. The word was with God. And the word Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created or made through him. Nothing was made without him. In him there was life, and that life was a light for the people of the world. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not able to overpower the light. Did you ever notice? It can be as dark can be. But the minute there's the smallest light, the darkness disappears. That's why this one Jesus came. Because you and I have darkness in our life. And God wants us to know that he wants to give us light in our life. He don't want us to live in the darkness. I remember one time when Bev and I were much younger than we are now. We went on a vacation into Kentucky. We went down into one of these caves, a mammoth cave thing. We got way down there and we walked underneath the earth quite a ways. And then the gentleman said, we're going to turn off the lights. I'll tell you, I've been in darkness before, but I've never seen such darkness. When them lights in the down in the caves turned off, it was dark. You couldn't see anything. And then he just had the smallest little light. And he turned on that teeny little light. And the darkness disappeared. And then the other lights came on. And the darkness was totally gone. That's what Jesus came to do in my life and came to do in your life. He says this in John 1:10-13. The word was in the world, but the world was made through him. But the world did not know him. He came to the world that was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But some people did accept him, and they that believed in him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. They did not become the children of God in a human way. They were not born because of the desire of a wish of some man. They were born of God. Once again in John 1:14, it says, the word became flesh and lived among us, and we saw his glory as the only begotten one of the Son of God. The word was full of grace and truth. That's why Jesus came, because he knew we needed to have the word living within us. And we knew that we needed to have the light that the word was going to give to us to help us be able to face the things that we're going through. And I got to be upfront and honest with you. There's been some pretty deep things I went through in my life. and some things that were really tough to get through. But I got to tell you also, at 85, this COVID thing is about one of the toughest things I've experienced, because it just seems to want to keep hanging on. Let me share why I love this. Before the world began, Jesus, the Word, was part of the three-person Trinity of God. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. Jesus took part in creation. It's referred to that Jesus was a light that can cause the darkness to disappear. From that heaven scene, we see Jesus, the Word, was in the world, and he had created the world, but the world didn't know him. Matter of fact, they crucified him. He came to the Jewish people. He was born a Jew. And he came to the Jewish people, but the Jewish people did not accept him. But anyone, I love this, anyone that did accept him, to them he gave the right or the authority or the power, I like the word power, the dynamite to become a child of God. What a privilege it is for us to become a child of God. The bottom line of all this is because this one Jesus lives among us. When we look at Jesus and the life he lived before us, we are able to see his glory that belongs only to the Father. The Son was full of grace and is full of truth. And as he shared the message of God, he's reminding us that he was willing not only to be born one of us, but he was willing to become sin for us. Every single one of us. He's willing to die that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. I want to talk about that just for a few minutes, and we'll take a little break and listen to a song. But this amazing love of God, the gift that he's given his Son Jesus, I want us to realize that this is in God's timing. I've always loved the idea of what is taught in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, 4 through 7. It says, when the fullness of time had come. When the fullness of time had come. God's timing. God sent forth his Son. He was born of a woman. He is born under the Jewish law. He came to redeem or buy back those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. He's going to take us from the family of the wickedness and make us the family of his children. And because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit of his Son into your heart, whereby he says, you know what you can do? You can call the Father, Abba, Father. You can say to God, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I need this. Oh, Daddy, I want to tell you this. So you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if a son, now listen to this, folks. If you're a son, then you're the heir through God. All things that God has for his Son, he's going to have for you in the same way. And that's something that is very special. Now I want to show us how that came when this fullness of time came. We're going to talk about the mother of Jesus, Mary, and how the message came to her. But before we do, I want us to listen to a song that's entitled, What a Strange Way to Save the World. Joseph is involved in Mary's life. And now Joseph's going to be involved in this birth of this one Jesus. That's not going to be anything of him, but of the Holy Spirit. And we'll read about that in just a few moments. But this song is kind of sung from Joseph's standpoint. The idea of who am I that I should be chosen to be the stepfather, so to speak, of Jesus? Who is Mary that she should be chosen to be the mother of God, only son? So let's listen to the song, and then I'll be right back in just a few minutes, and we'll listen. We'll continue on the rest of the message in the time that we have together. Here we go.
I'm sure it must have been a surprise at where this road had taken them. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say. Think of how it could have been if he had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. As he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to save the world. Second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say the world. This is such a strange way, such a strange way, a strange way to say.
Sure, I can say with the writer, this is such a strange way to save the world. And yet that's God's plan. It was his plan all the way ever since Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden. And he shares his plan all the way through all the Old Testament, and it begins the New Testament with the fulfillment of that plan. It's what God planned to do. It's what he promises to do. And as we go through this message, we realize it's such a strange way, but it's such a beautiful way. I go back to the idea, the greatest story that was ever told. And it never grows old. This message comes to Mary, and I read about it in the book of Luke. And you can imagine the shock that it was to her. Well, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin who was engaged to be married to a man who was Joseph. And Joseph was of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said unto her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." I love that. "You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will never be an end to it." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I do not know a man." The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One that is to be born in you shall be called the Son of God." My goodness, what a message to Mary. I'm sure she's wondering, what is this going to do? What does all this mean? Now, even as being good Jewish people, as Mary was and as Joseph was, and studying the Old Testament, they may have heard from Isaiah that one day this kind of thing was going to happen, but they would never be expecting it was going to happen to them. A part of the fullness of this time that had come when God brought forth this baby into this world, he's telling her, "Rejoice, rejoice, highly favored." He's telling her, this is going to be a special privilege that you're going to do. And he explained to her how it's going to happen. It's never happened before and it never happened again. But God said, this is the plan that I have. That's why Joseph had an idea in his, what a strange way to save the world. What a life-changing message to Mary, who is engaged to be married to the love of her life. And you know what, folks? The bottom line of Mary's life was, listen to what she said. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to the word." And the angel departed from her. Mary says, "Whatever God wants, I will do." And you know, one other time they said to Mary, "Behold, you're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is coming down to planet Earth and going to live as a human being. And he need to be brought into this world as a human being. And Mary, you're the one that's been chosen to do that. And you are highly favored in the presence of God." What a beautiful thing it was. But also it changed their whole life. You know what? I believe that he came in the best package. He came a little baby to reach into our hearts and souls and cause us to realize how much Jesus was willing to give up in order to come down here on planet Earth and to be your Savior and mine. I gotta tell you, folks, Jesus was just the right gift at the right time. The fullness of time had come for him to be sent, and then the fullness of time had come for him to be born, and he was born. One day, as Jesus was sitting in a house sometime later, I love what happened one day in Book of Matthew chapter 9. I thought I'd like to bring it here at this time. As Jesus reclined at a table in the house, behold, many taxpayers and collectors and sinners came and reclined with him. And his disciples, and when the Pharisees saw that, they said to his disciples, why did your teacher eat with these tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, God said, and not sacrifice. For I have come to call, I have not come to call righteous people, but I am come to call sinners. We all have sinned. Jesus died on that cross to pay that debt. And when Jesus paid that debt, it satisfied God the Father. When Adam and Eve took a bite of that fruit first there in the Garden of Eden, God told them they was going to die. And God reminded them that that death was going to be painful because it was going to be spiritual death along with, later on, physical death. Just as one through one man, God tells us in the book of Romans, sin entered the world. Therefore, by one man, Jesus, he paid the price of sin and it satisfies the holiness of God. Now, you're not responsible for the sin that Adam and Eve did. But I got to tell you, God tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. If it would have been you in place of Adam, it would have been your wife in place of Eve. We would have done the same thing. And then God goes on to tell us in the book of Romans, the paycheck for sin is death. That's in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God through his son Jesus is eternal life. We cannot pay the debt of our sin. That is why God tells us it's by grace that you are saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. And those religious people are always boasting about their religion. God said it's not that. Then God shares what we need to agree with him. He tells us in the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. He says this, listen to what he says, folks. If we would confess that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God says, I'm going to give you all the forgiveness of sin. And that forgiveness can be a part of your life. When you bow and you say to me, Father, I have sinned. And I believe your son, Jesus, paid for my sin. I want to ask this one, Jesus, to forgive me. I want to ask him to come and live in my heart and my life. I want to believe in him. And we just say something like, in Jesus' name. You know what God says? I will forgive you. But this gift is a gift that keeps on giving. Jesus keeps on giving. He's been gone for 2,000 years and he's still giving to us this idea of new life and all that comes with it. But you know what? There's a beautiful thing said of Jesus when he was about 12 years old. He stayed back at the temple and his mom and dad found him. They said, why did you do this to us? He said, I had to be about the Father's business. But then it tells us Jesus went back to Nazareth with them. Now listen to what it says about Jesus. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. And Jesus increased in favor with God. And Jesus increased in favor with man. That's how we grow a relationship. God's saying, I want you to understand that through when you make a prayer and ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive you of your sin. But then I want you to build a stronger relationship. I want you to grow with me. I want you to believe me. I want you to follow me. I want you to live for me. in John 10, 9 through 10, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and he'll find pasture. But he says, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that you might have life. Now listen to what he says. I want you to have abundant life. You know, because of Jesus Christ, the gift of God, that amazing gift that it was, God said, now I can give you abundant life. I love the way it's recorded in 1 John 5, 11 through 13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written unto you that you might believe in the name of the Son of God. Now listen to what he says. And that you might know that you have eternal life. And now here's the bottom line. And that you may continue to believe in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. He wants us to keep walking with him, to keep growing with him. That's the gift that he wants us to have. And it's a gift that keeps on giving. God does that to us. 2,000 years ago, when that precious baby Jesus was born, he was indeed the greatest gift that was ever seen. And he is not done giving yet at this moment. God is not. He still gives us life. He still gives us the meaning for life. I love what the promise of God gives us in the book of Lamentations. He promises this every morning. Now listen to what he says. The steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And they are new every morning. Every single day of my life, God comes to me with fresh assurance that he loves me and that he cares for me. Jesus is not only the greatest gift that was ever given. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. He keeps on adding to my life. He keeps wanting to add to your life. And he's doing that in order to help us on this journey that he wants us to walk with him. Well, I got time enough to share one more little thought with you before we have to listen to the closing song. Christmas is an amazing gift. Jesus, that may cause you to wonder, would I like it? Would I like this gift? You have to come to this conclusion. Is this something I want in my life? Is this something that I want to be a part of my life? How are you handling this COVID-19? We try to handle without any of God's promises in our life. It's pretty difficult. You know, one of the things that I've noticed in growing older is the older you get, folks, you need a whole lot less things. And I've come to say the older you get, you need a whole lot less things, but you need a whole lot more people in your life. I'm a people person. And this COVID-19 has limited me as a people person. I love to give people hugs. I love to touch people when I'm doing a funeral and they come to the casket. I love to touch people, that kind of thing. That helps me to see some 700 years ago, before Jesus was born. There's a promise given in the Old Testament. And I know that Mary and Joseph knew this promise, but they never knew it was going to be them. But listen to what the promise was given. Now, this is 700 years before Jesus was born. A child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of his government and the peace of his government, there will be unlimited growth. He will establish David's throne as his kingdom. He will uphold it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord is going to cause this to happen. The Bible times when the name was given to a person, That name was given to them to help them to realize. It described the person and what that person was bringing with them. I love what Jesus brought with him when I listen to the five names of Jesus. And it's like having these five Christmas gifts that I can open up every year and keep open throughout my days of that year to know that these are the things that Jesus is called. Let me give you the first one is, his name is Wonderful. That means it's some excitement for the dullness of my life. Wonderful comes from the root word wonder. This word can be used to say it's wonderful. It can be translated amazing, astonishing. As a contributive act of God's Son in my life, I believe it is wonderful. Then it goes on to give us the rest of the names. And each one of those names gives us something that we need in our life to be a part of our individual life. So as I get ready to go, I want to share with you, God has come to this earth, and it is to bring glory to all the people's lives, to your life and my life, as we realize we have this amazing gift from God. It's his Son, Jesus.
All praise to you.
Glory to him.
Eternal Lord, clothed in a garb of flesh and blood, you chose a manger for your throne. While worlds on worlds are yours alone. Once did the skies before you bow, a virgin's arms cradle you now, and angels who in you rejoice. Now listen for your infant voice. They sing glory in the highest, but there's no other name by which we can be saved.
And shout.